we read about Jesus. Christ is the central character of the whole Bible. Today, we ask the question, what is Christianity? Or more precisely, what does it mean to be a Christian? We're in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, where Jesus lays out the foundation of the church and the heart of what it means to be a Christian. Now, John introduced Jesus to us in grand terms, the Word become flesh. In him was life, the light of all mankind. But Jesus' disciples didn't understand all of that, not right away. Jesus' first words to most of them were simple, follow me. Two little words, the very core of Christian life comes down to this, follow Jesus. To be a Christian is not just to believe in a philosophy, nor is it to join an institution. It is a walk. It is a life lived in his footsteps. It is to follow. Actually, that's what the word disciple means, one who follows and learns. Jesus' disciples did just that. They followed him around. They watched him heal, watched him mend broken hearts, cast out demons, preach good news. They watched as he reached out to the lost and broken, to every kind of sinner, and they saw how he loved. You know, I read this chapter again today, and I was just struck. What was it like to be there, to see the Son of God, the Creator, taken on flesh? Nonetheless, following Jesus was not a spectator sport. So let's start in at verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So the disciples weren't just following, they were sent out. I love this. God calls us his fellow workers, working alongside Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do amazing works. We get to heal. We get to reach and preach and forgive and serve. We get to love. It's called ministry, and every Christian is called to it. Back in Luke 9, the disciples were sent out to preach and serve and come back again. Next thing you know, a crowd of several thousand comes out to hear Jesus, and they stay. By late afternoon, supper time is approaching, and the disciples figure the crowd should go somewhere to eat. So that's what they tell Jesus. But in verse 13, he replied, "You give them something to eat." Pay attention. There's more than just a miracle in the works here. Jesus tells the disciples, "You feed them." But there's a problem. No food. One disciple finds a boy with 5 small loaves of bread and 2 small fish. But Jesus gave thanks, handed the food to the disciples, and they shared it. Now, imagine you're one of those disciples. Take a look down at what Jesus just handed you. You're holding about 1/2 a small loaf of bread and 1 few slices of fish. Look up, and you've got a crowd to feed, several hundred just for you. Okay, everyone, just take a little and try to pass some on. I don't know what they said exactly, but they trusted and obeyed, and the people ate their fill with 12 basketfuls left over. And the disciples were not just spectators. They got to be the hands and feet of Jesus' miracle. Does it still happen for disciples today? You'll never know until you follow Jesus. And talk to people who really go for it. I've heard some stories. I've got some stories. Back in Luke 9, Jesus follows up with his disciples in verse 18. Who do the crowds say I am? Now, this was an easy question. The crowd said lots of things about Jesus. A prophet. Maybe Elijah returned from the dead. Mostly they said good things. The same is true today. People say lots of things about Jesus. Mostly good. But it's easy to talk about what others say about Jesus. But then in verse 20, but what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? Peter answered, God's Messiah. Now this is the real question. You can talk all day about who others say Jesus is. The question is, who do you say he is? Peter got it. Jesus is the Messiah, the Holy One. Matthew records that Jesus also said, on this rock I will build my church. In other words, the foundation stone of Christianity is who Jesus is. Not only that, Jesus gave Peter a new name. Understand who Jesus is, and you will find who you are in the process. And because of who Jesus is, he explains to the disciples that he must suffer many things, that he will be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Who he is determines what he must do. And the same would be true for the disciples. To be Jesus' follower is to follow Jesus' footsteps to the cross. In verse 23, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." That's it. That is Christian life. Follow Jesus. Following Jesus means taking up your cross daily. Following Jesus means denying yourself. Now, I don't think that means you deny yourself anything good or fun. It just means that you say no to your selfish desires when they lead you away from Jesus. You can't follow two people in different directions at the same time. Follow Jesus, not money. Follow Jesus, not pleasure. Follow Jesus, not self. Just follow Jesus. Now, I'm sure that Jesus recognized that what he's asking for is huge. When I asked my wife for her hand in marriage, I didn't just want a nice soft hand to hold during the ceremony. I was asking for life. Jesus is asking for no less. Remember, the Bible is a book of covenants, and Jesus is inviting the disciples into a new covenant, the one prophesied in Jeremiah. This is it. For the disciples, following Jesus was more than just putting their feet in his sandal prints. It was commitment. It was covenant. Well, this is a big decision, so to help his disciples better weigh out their options, he lays out a little reality on the scales. Verse 24, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." In other words, you can go down that path of living for yourself, find your own life on your own terms, but there is no gold at the end of that rainbow. Life for self is an empty road. The key is not inside of you. But whoever loses their life for Jesus will save it. Verse 25, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self?" Live for self and you'll lose yourself, lose your very soul. Live for the world and everything you get is stuff you can't keep and stuff that doesn't matter. Live for Jesus and what you get is the only stuff that matters, and you will find yourself in him. So what did the disciples do with all this? Two words. They followed Jesus. That is what it means to be a Christian. As for the Christian church, we'll get to that in the book of Acts. For today, read Luke 9 and consider your answer. Who do you say Jesus is? Will you accept his invitation to follow? And if you do follow Jesus, how does that work today? I mean, you can't just tag along behind him like the disciples did. So what does discipleship look like now? Well, it starts just like the disciples, with a commitment to follow Jesus. Not exactly his footsteps, physically, but follow in his way, in his mission. Read the Gospels, see how he walked, how he loved and lived, and treat people the way he treated people. The disciples weren't spectators, and neither are we. And like them, we follow Jesus together. Jesus sent them out in teams to grow together and learn from each other. As Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So following Jesus, well, it's a lot of things, and we put some of them right here and through the Word. Remember that verse we read from 2 Timothy? All Scripture is God-breathed. That same passage tells us that Scripture is meant for training, to equip you for every good work. So read the Bible, apply it to your life, pray, connect with others, and make it a habit. Then, get out there and live it.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.